Orange in the Central West's 105.1 Triple M. We're brought to you thanks to Harvey Norman in the Orange Grove Homemaker Centre. Let's talk agriculture now. And Bruce Reynolds is with us. Good morning to you, Bruce.
G'day, Neil.
Mate, it's certainly been a wet 7 days since we last spoke. A bit of sun about, but look, are we getting any reprieve?
Well, a little bit, Neil. As you said, we started to see a little bit of sun and no rain yesterday. And today should again be okay, as in hopefully reasonably fine. But looking out again for the next week, we're going to have showers around. And the ground is just so wet that if we get the forecast, you know, another 20 or 25 millimetres, so up around that old inch mark, it's all just going to continue to run off. And that's what's been the case over the last week. Huge amount of water moving down through the catchments. And we saw Burrendong Dam rise to about 136, 137% of capacity, with flood mitigation being used to control that water flow from the Bathurst and Orange and Mudgee areas. But, you know, that dam can't take much more before we've got to start making major releases. So hopefully they can manage the rainfall, and hopefully it's just not too much that they can just gradually release that water out of particularly Burrendong Dam.
Indeed. Look, I got a press release from the Bureau of Meteorology yesterday saying that they have moved a La Nina watch to a La Nina alert. What does that mean?
It means we're a lot closer to potentially having a third La Nina year in a row. And funnily enough, the US has already declared another La Nina. So as in some parts of the world, and I believe four of the seven models that the Bureau of Meteorology use have indicated that we are headed into another La Nina. And that, as you ask the question, what does that really mean? It means the potential or probability of above average rainfall. And when you've got a negative dipole that we talked about, I think it was last week, as in that's also another moisture source. And you look at the oceans around Australia, so pretty well it's the ocean temperatures. And right around Australia, the ocean temperatures are across the top end, so the Indian Ocean, right across northern Australia and the Coral Sea, are above average to well above average, but over off the west coast of South America and up to parts of southern North America, the temperatures are very much below average. So that's stopping rainfall over in that part of the world, and it's definitely possibly going to increase rainfall in our part of the world, but how long before the Bureau calls it or doesn't call it, well, time will tell.
Indeed. How bad is the drought in the US at the moment?
Well, yeah, I've had a look at, after this announcement came out, I sort of thought I'll go and have a look at the US. You're looking at probably two-thirds of the US, and I know it is the middle of summer, or moving towards the latter part of summer in the US, but are in drought conditions, and some of them are in severe drought, particularly southern parts of California, but also Texas. Large swathes of Texas, which is a huge state in the US, is one of the biggest states. It's very badly drought affected, but pretty well, as in there's an area along the Canadian border and along the East Coast that's okay. There are some drought parts in the US, but most of that two-thirds of the US, so that southwestern two-thirds, is very much in drought conditions, so quite bad conditions there.
All right. All right, let's go locally now. Now, last week we were discussing agricultural output by value on a local government level, with Cabon way in front of Orange, Blaney and Bathurst, and rightly earning its title as the food basket of New South Wales. Now, it got me thinking, what are some of our biggest value agricultural commodities?
So I've done a little bit of research in preparation for your question, Neil. And just looking for, firstly, I'll go through them in an alphabetical order. Blaney Shire, as in wheat for grain, you know, is quite high, and canola, but also, you know, wool and milk production are quite high in Blaney Shire. But the big ones in Blaney Shire are cattle, with over 32 million of their 60 million, and sheep and lambs at around about 9 million.
Right.
So, you know, as in livestock, very big in Blaney Shire. Looking across at Cabon, and we better look at some, you know, horticultural crops there. So cherries a bit over 9 million and apples 31 million. Yet grape production in Cabon is only worth, so this is grapes and not wine, by the way, just around about 2.7 million. So it still shows you apples, from a horticultural point of view, are very big. Looking at, you you know, wool is quite large in Gabon. Egg production, actually, $28 million worth of egg production in Gabon Shire. So that's something when you see eggs, a lot are produced in that Gabon Shire area. But, of course, sheep and lambs and cattle, they're the big ones, cattle being bigger than sheep and lambs. And also poultry production, nearly $10 million worth of chicken meat produced in Gabon Shire. And finally, to orange, again, cherries, you know, a bit over $1 million, apples about $2.5 million. Grapes for wine production, about $100,000 worth, so very, very small in comparison. But again, cattle a big one in the orange local government area, and then sheep come in well behind, about a third of the value. So quite substantial values from particularly livestock seems to be the king when it comes to income across those three local government areas.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating. Bruce Reynolds is with us talking agriculture this morning. Bruce, thank you for your time and the information. Have a great day.
Thanks, Neil.